Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. It is Thursday, May the 5th, 2022, and I have been corrected. It is not 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is 7 a.m. Daylight Savings Time or whatever. Something like that. Thank you, Erskine Cash, and thank you, Shirley Thomas, last night for those kind words of correction. Anyway, it's good to be with y'all this roughly. My internet cut out. Pray, please, if you will, and if you have the time, please pray that we would get reliable internet at the manse. I cannot tell you how frustrating it is to prepare, and there I just got a notification to check my internet connection. I cannot tell you how frustrating it is to prepare for these on a daily basis, and then to get in here and the internet starts acting up and that kind of thing. People have asked, have I gotten Starlink yet, the Elon Musk internet? No, I haven't, which is particularly frustrating because the day that I shared that, I found out that someone else who signed up after me has already gotten it. And somebody else, the day after that, I found out that signed up after me has already gotten it. I don't know why I have not gotten it. I signed up in February of 2021. So, Elon Musk, when you see this, help a brother out, man. Come on. May the 4th was yesterday, but Elon Musk, you are our only hope. You're my only hope in terms of getting some reliable internet. Fiber optic is a few hundred yards that way, but it might as well be in the Grand Canyon because I don't think they're going to bring it into this tip of Augusta County. They have said that they would. The good thing is that Virginia's governor ran on high-speed internet for rural areas. Oh, wait, he's no longer governor. You mean to tell me that a politician made a promise that didn't happen? Wow. And no, I'm not salty about this. I'm just a little frustrated. Anyway, it's good to be back with you this morning. I better make hay while the sun shines and quit wasting time in case we get cut off again. Yesterday, we started making our way through John chapter 3. We were introduced to a man named Nicodemus, a he's called a simpleton. Yesterday, we saw Jesus and Nicodemus' interaction. The Nicodemus came to him before he even asked a question. Jesus knew what was in his heart. To that end, my contention is that chapter 3 should begin back in verse 23 of chapter 2, because the setup is that Jesus wouldn't entrust himself to men because he knew what was in men's heart. But there was a man named Nicodemus, and then the text continues. What we saw yesterday and where we were abruptly cut off, it actually wasn't in the worst spot, is when Jesus starts answering these questions. Verse 3, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Right? Nicodemus' response is, how can a man be born when he is old? Y'all, that's where we got cut off yesterday. And what we left off with, and again, it was a good spot. When Nicodemus asks this, some people call him a simpleton. You know, again, he's called a coward because he shows up at night. Read the rest of the Gospel of John, and as we read it, you'll find out that Nicodemus is anything but a coward. He will end up standing up for Jesus. After Jesus is crucified, it will be he and Joseph of Arimathea that go to claim the body. That's not something a coward does, okay? But aside from that, the issue is not Nicodemus' mind being able to grasp this concept. When Nicodemus asks, how can a man be born when he is old, we find the real key to what's going on with Nicodemus here. And the real question he's asking is not biological in nature. The real question he's asking is, can I be born again, even though I'm old? In essence, can an old dog learn new tricks? That's what's really going on here. Let's pray, and then we'll dig in and we'll read even more and see the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. I pray that you would preserve the internet connection, please. And if it's not in your will, that's okay, too, because your will is best. But help us to get through this integral, important important concept that leads to probably the most well-known verse in all of your word. Father, it's through this story, true story, but story, that we understand why you gave your one and only Son, so that whosoever may believe in him should have eternal life. So, Father, please guide us now by your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand. Help us to be encouraged and help us to take heart in the fact that no one is beyond redemption, that you are still in the business of entering into people's lives and absolutely changing the whole world. For those of us that know you this morning, we're evidence of that. So help us to keep these things in mind as we go to your word, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so again, where we left off, Jesus replies to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Nicodemus answered, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. I tell you the truth. You know, this is an emphatic statement from Jesus. He is clarifying here that he's not just talking, right? What he is about to reveal is the truth. And this is important, all right? This was a device used by rabbis at this time. Keep that in mind. And remember, when Nicodemus came to him, and in verse 2 it says, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Okay? So Jesus says in verse 5, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Y'all remember the dynamic that's going on here and the setup for this passage. If you're going to understand this, you got to understand the setup. Again, the setup is that Jesus wouldn't entrust himself to men because he knew what was in men's hearts. Nicodemus then shows up, starts talking to Jesus, and immediately Jesus starts addressing what is in Nicodemus's heart before Nicodemus can even say it. Perhaps even before Nicodemus knows it. One of you sent me a text message after the devotional a couple of days ago on judging people's heart. And one of you asked me, are we able even to judge our hearts, to know our own hearts? And that's a wonderful question because, y'all, biblically speaking, we learn lots of things about the human heart, one of which is that the heart is deceptively wicked. It's deceptively. That includes deceptive to ourselves. That's why perhaps the worst advice ever given in the history of advice is follow your heart. Y'all, don't follow your heart. Do not follow your heart. Follow God's word. Okay? Trust in the Holy Spirit who illuminates God's word. Be bound by your conscience that is informed by God's word. All right? And then, as it relates to functioning in life, y'all, the dynamic is not that difficult. God has given us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to turn the lights on so that we can see. He has given us his word, and he has given us brains. Brains, you see. I'm not saying that emotions are not important, and I'm not saying that emotions aren't valid for what they are, but we have to be people that follow the book. Nevertheless, getting back to this, so that was a very good question. Can we even know our own heart? And the answer to that is often enough, no, we can't. But Jesus knows Nicodemus's heart. And so Jesus begins with all of this after Nicodemus says, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Again, this has nothing to do with biology and the birthing process. Nicodemus is not an idiot here. What he's doing is read through his words in light of Jesus' response. What is Jesus' response to him? Well, he references baptism, yes, but he references both kinds of baptism. He represents the baptism that we do, but then he represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the newness of life that we can have only through the Holy Spirit, through receiving the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance, yes, but also the Holy Spirit that is our counselor, that is our comforter, that is our guide, that does all those things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do. Do you realize that Jesus told the disciples when he was going to be ascending back into heaven that it was good for him to go? Because if he didn't go, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. Jesus' response to Nicodemus, who is struggling here, not struggling mentally, struggling emotionally, struggling spiritually, not understanding how he who is old can have newness of life, not understanding how he who has been in this pattern his whole life can be born again. Jesus' response ultimately is it comes down to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. Now, this is a good translation, but it could also be translated, the Spirit blows where it pleases. Same word here, right? The wind or the Spirit blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot hear where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Y'all, the message to Nicodemus, the message to you and me is that nobody's off limits. Nobody is beyond saving. No one's sin is so catastrophic that they can't be forgiven. And no one is beyond saving by the Holy Spirit. Because, y'all, there's much that we can understand about God. Really, there is. There's so much that God reveals about himself in his word. That's why we're preaching through what we're preaching through on Sunday mornings. There is so much that God makes clear. But there are some things that we are not going to understand. There are some things that we can't understand. One of which is the movement of the Spirit. By our perspective, there is a touch of wildness to the Spirit. And I'm not, calm down, I'm not talking about charismatic stuff or anything like that. I'm talking about the fact that who are we to outlive our God? You know, as Father Maple preached in Moby Dick, who are we to determine the course of the Almighty, to understand everything there is to understand? We, finite human beings, who are we to think that we can put God in a box, if you want to use modern day terminology? We're nobody to think that. Because no one, can determine the ultimate course of the Holy Spirit. No one can thwart the Holy Spirit. As a believer, you can quench the Spirit. That's a different story. As a side note, what's your relationship like with the Holy Spirit? And again, calm down. This is not charismatic stuff, okay? This is the simple application of God's Word. If the Holy Spirit really does all the things that Jesus said the Holy Spirit does, and the Holy Spirit does do those things, then what's your relationship like with the Spirit? Do you live a Spirit-filled and a Spirit-led life? Do you seek out wisdom from the Spirit? Are you relying on the Holy Spirit to illuminate your paths? If not, not only are you in danger, because if the Holy Spirit is the counselor, is the comforter, is all of these things, you're in danger from not living a Spirit-led life, trusting in the Holy Spirit. But not only that, you're missing out. Oh my goodness, you are missing out. Well, Nicodemus replied in verse 9, how can this be? Nicodemus asked. Verse 10, you are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Pause for a moment. Y'all, in the midst of Nicodemus still not understanding, and remember, It's not biology that he doesn't understand. What he doesn't understand is how he can have lived his whole life, how he can be old. And very clearly he is experiencing here, I think it's very clear, he's experiencing the calling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is working in his heart, but he doesn't understand how he, who is set in his ways, can be changed, can become a different person. He's old, after all. Again, what he's asking is, can an old dog learn new tricks? Am I beyond redemption? Y'all, that's when Jesus goes on to talk about how all of this is possible. He says, you're supposed to be Israel's teacher. You are Israel's teacher. This is a compliment paid by Jesus. And he's saying, and you still don't understand? And what Jesus points to is all the teachings in the Old Testament about the Son of God coming that would take on the sin of the world. About the Son of God coming who would be slain for our transgressions, who would take our wounds and heal them. All of the prophecies in Isaiah, all the way back to Genesis, where the seed of the woman would come and the serpent would strike his heel, but he would crush the head of the serpent. That's what Jesus points to. When Nicodemus says, how is all this possible? Jesus says, look at me. Look at the Spirit. This is how all of these things are possible. Jesus said, I'm the one who is here. All of the prophecies of the Old Testament pointed forward to me. And when I do what the suffering servant is prophesied to do back in Isaiah, when I do what the seed of the woman was prophesied to do all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, it is then that the Holy Spirit can come and transform. And as evidence of that, to drive the point home, Jesus' response to Nicodemus, who is basically asking, can I be saved? Jesus' response is, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Y'all, sometimes we get hung up on the whoever part and we try to get into deep theological discussions about that, about, oh, well, this means the whole world and this means only God's elect. Y'all, when Jesus says whosoever, the context of Jesus saying whosoever means that nobody is beyond redemption. That whoever believes, even if that person is old and set in their ways, even if they have lived a lifetime apart from him, whosoever believes will be saved and will have eternal life. That's the context of John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse in all of the Bible. We take and we talk about the fact that Jesus saved the whole world. Y'all, Jesus did come to save, and his death is effectual in providing the power to save the whole world, if the whole world believed. But the real context of John 3:16 is that no one is beyond redemption. And that no one, everyone can be saved, including you. You're never too old. And as a result, not only does this apply to salvation, this also applies to the Holy Spirit coming in and taking over. It also applies to you having newness of life. You know, sometimes people think that there are biblical and theological concepts that apply to younger people who are younger in the faith, but once you're set in your ways, you're done. Absolutely not. I can tell you stories of people that finally submitted to the Holy Spirit, right? And I'm not, y'all, again, there is so much reactionary stuff revolving around the Holy Spirit that we are so missing out. And this particularly happens in the Presbyterian world. It's one of the reasons I'm excited about Pat and Susie Patterson. They're going to be leading a Bible study from their home on Tuesday nights. See them if you want to get involved in that, because they're talking about the Holy Spirit. But I have seen so many people who are not at the beginning of their walk with Christ, who in fact are many, many, many years into their walk with Christ, that finally recognize the Holy Spirit and start living a Spirit-led life. They receive anointing by the Holy Spirit. They're sealed in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what terminology you want to use. And no, this doesn't revolve around them having some kind of special baptism by somebody claiming to baptize with the Holy Spirit. I don't baptize with the Holy Spirit. No human being does. That's why John the Baptist was very clear. I baptize with water, but one is Your situation's not too far gone for God to step in and change the whole world. It's with that in mind that we are told whosoever will. Now, we're going to pick up tomorrow in verse 17. Well, we'll probably start in verse 16 to set it up. But as we close out today, I would encourage you to consider your life. Really think about it. Consider whether or not you are living a spirit-filled and spirit-informed life. Are you led by the Spirit? Are you trusting? And if you know that you don't know the Lord, realize that you are not too far gone. Now, with that, I'm done at 7:21. What is the end? Eastern Daylight. I don't know what. Erskine, you and I got to talk, or Shirley, you and I got to, I don't know, I always just say Eastern Standard. Anyway, I know it's daylight saving, but. It's time. We need to end, but let me close with some prayer. Our Father, I thank you so much for this time that you've given to us, and I pray that you would help us to take heart. Help us to realize that there is no situation beyond your reach, that there is no individual beyond your ability to redeem, and that includes us. Help us to trust in you by the power of your Spirit. Help us to be in tune to what the Spirit is doing in our lives. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Spirit. Thank you for sending your one and only Son so that whosoever believes would have eternal life, even me. Now, please go with us in the rest of our day, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, again, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Now I can actually respond to people. I see Christine, good morning, and Becky, and then there's the other Becky. Hopefully it worked today. If it didn't, don't tell me. There's Monica and Rose and Alice. Good morning to you all again. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning. Until then, have a great day.